No, I was going to say cocaine. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we discuss our latest geeky boners. We talk about the definition of fundamentalist atheism, and Nick answers our 5 questions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. As always, I am Molly Glover, and I'm joined by Tim Wick.
Hi.
And Nick Glover.
Hello.
So today we are going to talk about just some general geekiness and
geeky stuff.
Just kind of one of our chat episodes, you know. just us just having some chats,
chilling about
stuff. Yeah.
Sort of chillaxing.
Yeah.
Chillaxing.
So I would like to start off again.
So by the way, we're gonna call this section Geeky Boners.
Geeky Boners.
Because that's what you called it.
They give me a huge boner, and you know, it's funny, Nick. On the way here, did I not say that I was gonna try not to say that something gave me a boner tonight?
But I just tossed it right in there. So now there's nothing wrong with you. Saying.
Literally, as we pulled up, she's like, okay. Now I've said like boners in like. Every single podcast we've said so far, someone gives me a boner. I'm going to try really hard not to say someone gives me a boner tonight.
And it's too late.
Bam.
Yeah,
but
it's too late.
You know,
yeah.
You have literally been given a boner.
I've been gifted.
Gifted
a boner.
Gifted a boner. All right,
All right,
you
want to
start? What's your geeky boner?
Well, no, I don't want to start. I'm saying I want to start talking about that before you so rudely interrupted my hosting duties.
Sorry.
No. So Tim, what are you geeking out on right now?
All right, well, what I'm geeking out on right now is Mars Curiosity. This podcast.
Space.
Is going to go up in like 2 weeks, but still, fucking A.
Yeah, man.
I was out at Fringe Central. I have a show in the Minnesota Fringe. I have 2 shows in the Minnesota Fringe. And I was out at Fringe Central after doing a show. And it was 1:30 in the morning. And normally the Olympics are on.
Because,
you know, where the Olympics are going on. That's cool. And everybody's talking. Everybody's drinking. Nobody's fucking paying any attention to the Olympics. But they put up the Mars Curiosity landing. And all it is, it's a shot of mission control. It's the most boring thing you can possibly imagine. Just all these people in blue suits sitting there, and in the background there's like a whole bunch of numbers flashing up on a screen. You can't, I mean, it's not like they have video of the Curiosity going through its landing procedure. They're just sitting there waiting.
It's not ground control to Major Tom. Like,
exactly.
It's not like talk through it. Yeah.
They're waiting for news that it landed. Because of course the thing that's so cool is it's like 14 minutes. It takes 14 minutes to communicate with the Curiosity. So you know, they've just told it, all right, dude, you got to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then they got to wait 14 minutes to find out, did it work?
Or did we
just waste $2.5 billion? And they're just sitting there, and everybody in Fringe Central, they're talking, but their eyes are kind of on the screen. And all of a sudden, everybody in Mission Control is like, yeah! Their arms go up, and a just huge cheer goes up. All the way through Fringe Central, all these theater geeks are like, woo, USA, USA. Like, any of them give a flying fuck.
Yeah,
they're just doing
that
because it's funny.
It's
funny to chant. Yeah, but you know, and they, you know, a little bit after that, they're getting back the first picture. And the first picture, I mean, is super fucking boring.
It's like the camera's facing down at its own wheels.
Yeah,
right?
It's basically just a test picture. It's super fucking boring, except it's fucking Mars.
It's Mars, for real.
It's excites the shit out of me. So every new picture that comes out, I'm like, ooh, click on it, and I stare at it for a while, even though, you know, it's really just, you know, flat ground and rocks.
Yeah.
Although the picture of the orbiter got...
Of the parachute drop.
Holy shit, that was so awesome.
That's so amazing.
Someone
posted a picture today that was like a colorized...
They took all the pictures that have been set back so far, and they put them into a panorama, and then they colorized them, and it's the coolest thing ever.
It's gorgeous.
I know, I think did you tweet that?
Yeah, I shared it on Facebook.
You shared it on Facebook.
We'll put it in the show notes for sure. That's
but,
amazing.
Oh my God.
Bob's comment on that was like, think about when, you know, people discovered America and what they were looking at, like, in Florida and, you know, searching for, like, the Fountain of Youth. And they didn't see highways and casinos. They just saw land. And what we're seeing right now is exciting, and it's Mars, but in a couple hundred years, that could just be some asshole's front yard.
But right now, it's like the whole way the damn thing lands, you know, with a freaking hovercraft lowering it down on the planet Mars.
Fucking victory for science, P.S. In a week that prior to that had been dominated by some fundamentalist Christian bullshit. So it was very nice to have, like, no, everyone shut up about that. Time to talk about science.
Also the Olympics. Like, all of a sudden, Olympics coverage, I'm hearing, like, nothing. Yeah. Nobody's talking about it.
Take that, jocks. Science wins.
Well, I love the Olympics. I really do. Yeah. But you know, fucking curiosity is
I like sports.
I like the Olympics. I like there's so many different things that you never get to see. And
I like seeing the footage and the photos from it. I don't like watching, like, I never just sit down and watch the Olympics. I did when I was a kid because I didn't have a job or anything to do. But like, I have too much to do to sit and watch the Olympics. Yeah. I got a lot of shows to watch.
So anyway, so that's my geeky boner. Awesome. That's the Mars curiosity, and I will be having a geeky boner on that for pretty much the next 2 years or longer.
All right. Sorry, Pat.
Sorry, honey. Love you.
So hope you like this 2 year boner.
Mars boner.
2 year long Mars boner. And now you have the show title.
Oh, my God. I gotta write that down.
And Nick, what about you? I mean, I live with you.
I'm
just curious. Like, tell us
what I've been, like, reading about a lot lately and very, very excited about is, as we've discussed previously, I read a lot of comics. I'm a big Marvel comics fan, and they're planning to shake up all of their writers in the next season, starting in the fall. So Matt Fraction's being taken off Iron Man and put on X-Men, Avengers, I think, and Bendis is being taken off Avengers for the first time since 2004 and put on X-Men.
Bendis writing X-Men?
Yeah. And like, Mark Waid is going to write the Hulk, but he's going to redo the Hulk the way he redid Daredevil, where it's like, people are tired of angsty Bruce Banner fighting against the Hulk. This is going to be like a hopeful Banner using the Hulk and working with the Hulk to accomplish something. And it's a new direction. And so all these writers, and it's like, so-and-so might be on Fantastic Four, but, like, they haven't announced that part yet. And so I'm very excited to find out who is going to be put on what, and, like, all these comics that I don't normally read, I might start reading because people I really appreciate as writers are going to be on them.
Are you following any, like, niche blogs or anything to, like, keep up on the latest news?
Bleeding Cool.
Yeah.
Really, they have the best shit. It's a UK comics blog, and they're all over it, plus they're witty, they're clever
about
it. Which
is weird, because Marvel is an American company, and they're all American writers.
Avatar is, like, the only one they pimp that's a UK comic company. Interesting. But then today they announced that Joss Whedon is, like, officially Marvel's bitch until 2015.
He's gonna do
Avengers 2. He's going to be a consultant or producer on all of their other movies, including Guardians of the Galaxy and Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. And he's going to create a live-action television show that probably is going to end up starring S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, like a S.H.I.E.L.D. television show for not Fox.
Wow.
So
it might last more than 3 episodes.
Wow.
Right. Yeah,
that's amazing.
It could happen. It's fucking amazing. It's like, we just want to give you a lot of money and have you do everything for us.
Dear Joss Whedon, thank you for all the money.
Yeah.
All the money.
Perfect. It's a good time to be a Marvel fan.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is. We talked about it in another podcast. I think the slate of Marvel movies that we've had lately have been, you know, almost all hits. I think, you know, with the geek crowd, I think we all enjoyed The Amazing Spider-Man. I didn't think it was a great movie, but I enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot.
With the geek crowd, it's kind of that one hasn't been.
The more I think about it, the more I like it.
Yeah.
In retrospect,
I liked Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker.
He's great.
Yeah.
I thought he was better than Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, for sure.
And whatever problems I have, which are mostly with the lizard part of the story.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a good start.
Yeah. The lizard's a bad.
It's a good setup though.
Yeah.
And yeah. I liked the way they did it with the whole, like, I'm responsible for him because I created him because I, you know, yeah. like, pushed him into mm-hmm. this in a way.
Responsibility.
Sure. And that's that fits in with the whole Spider-Man thing. And so yeah. I was okay with it. Plus, but I find Lizard to be a boring... Yeah, it's almost as boring as Sandman. I mean, really.
I'm so excited if they do the very end of the movie, the little teaser that they did at the end.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's like, oh, that's Norman Osborn. They're wrong.
They're wrong.
It's not Norman Osborn. And
really?
Very mild spoiler. There's a teaser at the end of the movie. They show Doc Connor, the Lizard, in a jail cell, all alone. The door is shut. He's clearly alone. You see a flash of lightning, and then there's a dude with a gravelly voice talking to him.
Oh, the flash of lightning. It's Electro.
It's going to be fucking Electro.
Electro, all right.
And then they show a flash of lightning, and he's gone all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it'd be so fucking awesome.
All right, I didn't notice the flash of lightning. If I had, I probably would have picked up. I don't know why I didn't notice
it. I didn't notice it. I totally didn't notice it.
Okay.
What about you?
I have been geeking out hardcore about running lately. Like, I have been super... So I run long distance. I've been doing mm-hmm. it for 24 years competitively since I was 10, if you're counting. I ran my first 5K when I was 10, and I came in second for my age group, which was under 18. It's pretty awesome. But anyway, so I just do it for fun, but... like, I've been, like, really trying to push my distance limits.
Uh-huh.
And this may not sound like a geeky thing, because it's, like, an activity, like, that involves athletics.
It's totally numbers. Numbers are totally geeky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, the thing is, like, so I'm running, like, 7, 8, 9 miles at a time, and I have a run keeper program on my phone. I run with my phone in a little spy belt. And so it uses GPS, and it tells you when you get to a mile, when you get to 2 miles and 3 miles, and it tells you your total time and then your average pace. But so I like to, I sometimes have to stop for stoplights in my neighborhood, so I'll count the seconds, how long I've had to stop. And
of course
then when
you
it
will.
Says the total time, I subtract the number of seconds and I divide by the miles and I can figure out my splits. And so it's just like this little like numbers trick I do in my head while I'm running. And I'll get done, and just it's super fun, and also because we're preparing for Gen Con. I leave for Gen Con today. Right now, we're recording this on a Wednesday. I leave on Monday, and I'm gone for 8 days. So I
Bachelor Week.
As a result, I'm super stressed out. So the best way for me to deal with stress is to run 9 miles, and then I don't give a shit about anything. So I'm super happy. I'm like, I don't care. It's,
You have another app that you run with that is actually like really.
Oh yeah, Zombies Run. It is a zombies game that you play it just by running. So you start it up. And you start up the mission, and it does audio in your ear, so it's like, it always starts off with like, boop, boop, because they're raising the gate, and you're in this little township, and it's like, you're going out this mission, like, let's say to get supplies, and you're going to get food, so we need you to run to this old abandoned grocery store and get any canned goods and boxed dry goods you can, and you can turn on zombie chases, so that every now and then in the middle of your run, it'll go, warning, zombies 20 meters behind, and you have to speed up.
Oh.
And you have to sprint for up to a minute and a half, and if they catch you, you lose supplies. So then you gain supplies as you run. Every so often, it's like picked up a box of bandages, or like picked up a baseball bat, you know. And then you, at the end of the run, when you're done, you take the supplies and you touch screen, you drop them into your little areas, and you build up your community. But I've finished all of season one, and I've built up my community and leveled all my buildings up to as max as they can get. So I'm not playing with that right now because I'm waiting for season two to come out. So
it's a way to be a runner and geeky.
Super geeky,
and then, so it uses your GPS to figure out how far you've run and how fast you're going.
It uses the accelerometer for how fast you're going as well. You can.
And then it plays your music. Because as the guise of like radio DJs,
There's two radio DJs who are in this Able Township, and they're like, and since this is in the future, obviously, they'll say things like your song will play, and they'll come back and be like, wow, I haven't heard that in years. Like I can't believe you chose that. And the other guy would be like, well, you know, I like to throw on some retro stuff now and then, and it doesn't matter what it played. So it's a very clever game. Kickstarted it, and so I've been a backer since before it got big. It's just pretty. It's not a big deal. It's just a little bit better than yours.
I've been chased by zombies before.
It's just, you know.
Chased by zombies.
Anyway, so yes, that's me right now.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So you know, and the other thing I didn't mention this before, but I got to mention. I actually am now a published writer,
Woo!
which is pretty fucking cool. In it's a, an anthology. It's Atheist Voices of Minnesota, which is a fundraising book for that supports Minnesota atheists, and you can find it on Amazon.
Nice.
Wow. And I have a an essay
Atheist
in there.
Atheist Voices of Minnesota.
Atheist Voices of Minnesota. It has contributors from PZ Myers as a contributor, Greg Layden, Stephanie Zavan, who's been a guest on our podcast.
We had her on our podcast. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool that I'm actually a published author. So please check that out. I will definitely include a link in the show notes.
Fantastic.
Just so you can go out and support.
How did
really
you get involved
cause.
In that?
There was a on one of the blogs that I follow, they just mentioned that there was this project coming out and they were looking for contributors. So I was
awesome.
Like, what the fuck? And I wrote an essay. And they liked it, either that or they only got 36 contributors and so they accepted everyone. I don't know.
To be clear, it's not one of those, like, you can be a published poet where you, like, you submit your poetry and then you have to pay $500
I didn't pay a dime. No, nor did I make a dime.
But what
I got was 2 free copies of the book, and I can get 40% off any additional copies of the book if I want to give them to family members.
That's fantastic.
But anyway, that's
congratulations,
pretty
cool.
Congratulations,
man. Thanks. Yeah, that's super cool.
So then I had another thing that I wanted to talk about briefly before we go on to our 5 questions thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been on my blog, Fundamentalist Christian found me, and we were doing...
Oh, well, this guy.
I know.
Feeding trolls.
And we found, he's not an asshole, he's just wrong. I mean, but anyway...
He was feeding them willingly.
Yeah.
I feed ducks sometimes.
Yeah. So anyway, the guy finds the 10 questions that every atheist should answer post.
Which you blogged about before we covered it on our
podcast. And we talked about it a little bit, and then we decided that it was really boring. So we're not going to talk about it anymore. But he found and he started to ask me a series of questions. And so I decided I was going to answer him.
Yeah.
Because what the hell?
Because ignoring him is not the option either, I don't think.
Well, and it's kind of that practice of, well, what is my answer to this question?
Sure.
I should know.
Sure.
So I'm going to try and create that answer. And so one thing he asked me at some point, because I keep referring to him as a fundamentalist Christian, is he said, you use that in a way that makes it sound kind of derogatory. And he said,
it's kind of meant to be, though.
Because it is. Because, frankly, I don't have a lot of time for fundamentalist Christians. I think they're wrong, and I think they're dangerous.
And they're zealots. I don't have time for zealots.
But he said, well, do you consider yourself a fundamentalist atheist?
Hmm.
I'm like, well, the first thing I did was I said, well, what's the definition of a fundamentalist Christian? He actually defined it himself. He said, earlier in this exchange, he said, if by fundamentalist Christian you mean that I am somebody who takes... the Bible literally, then yes, guilty as charged. I'm like, that's exactly what I...
Then there's no such thing as a fundamentalist atheist.
So, what is the reciprocal definition?
Militant?
Militant?
I think he means, like, new atheist.
Maybe,
would be
do you think he means new atheist?
Because I self-describe as a militant and or new atheist / anti-theist in that... I think religion is dangerous. I think it's harmful. I don't think that there's any instance in which religion does anything other than that something else couldn't do for people. How's that? I don't think it gives anything special.
I agree. I say even religion at its very best, when it's doing the most good it can and it's not harming anyone when those circumstances arise, is still inherently dangerous because it encourages people to accept things without proof or
and I know that's not how you feel.
Well, no, I would say that I actually do. I mean, I think I don't like organized religion.
Sure.
Any organized religion, from my perspective, is simply an opportunity for one individual to convince other individuals of what they believe and to get them to basically group and follow them in that same belief.
And to get money.
But
power. You could say power and influence.
Women.
But spirituality and spirituality or belief in a God, I don't have a problem with in that aspect. But the organized religion I view as dangerous because I view organized religion as really using a non-scientific sort of fantasy world to convince people
to do what you want them to do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, even if what you want them to do is a good thing, it's a
tool for oppression.
It's a tool for oppression.
Sure.
And whether or not that oppression is what I believe is right is not even the point. The point is that people need to think for themselves and make their own decisions and not have a religious leader providing them with their agenda to follow. So, you know, I don't know, but I mean, that doesn't qualify, I think, as fundamentalist.
Yeah, because well, I mean, the I fundamentals is what that's based on. The fundamentals of Christianity, the fundamentals being the Bible, adherence to the Bible, you know, like church obedience.
So what's fundamental to atheism? I mean,
non-belief.
Science?
The only thing that's fundamental to atheism is that we don't believe there's a God, because
right.
I mean, and that we believe really? That, and that we believe that you know, scientific, you need scientific proof,
right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
You could be an atheist who doesn't necessarily have a lot of stock in science. You could just be one who does not believe in gods
and doesn't give a shit about anything else.
Who doesn't give a shit about anyone else
or anything? I mean, or like
right,
science,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could believe in ghosts or spirits and shit like that, technically.
And still not believe in God.
And still not believe in God.
Yeah. And, you know, now in the atheist community, there's this huge debate about, like, harassment policies at conventions, and there are atheists who are absolutely for it, atheists who are against it. So, I mean, there's gigantic divisions within the atheist skeptical community.
That's what's going to happen when it's not organized like a religion is, and there's not some person on top saying, this is how it is, this is how it's written, there's no rules for it. Well, and that's
it's an obvious trap. He was trying when he was is, and this is what bugs me about arguing with people who aren't smart I mean honestly, or just who think who are trying to be clever, and it's posturing which is what I read your exchange with this guy, and that's what it felt like with him, is he was trying very hard to catch you in something. And it's the same kind of people that say things like, well, you want people to accept you for who you are, but then you're judgmental. And it's like, yeah, I am judgmental. I don't know what you think you're catching me in with this. Or the whole like, well, then you're, would you think you're a fundamental atheist, in the sense of being like, you say fundamentalist Christian is bad. So, well, hold on, mister. I'm going to turn this on you.
Right, right.
And my response is that you're dwelling on the word fundamentalist and not on what I think is wrong with it, which is what you mean when you say you are a fundamentalist.
Yeah.
And what you mean is that you read the Bible and you take it 100% literally, and that, to
it's
me,
a joke.
Is a problem.
But see, that's what people do when people are losing an argument. When people know that they're losing an argument, they pick on the one, they grab onto something like a life raft that they can now argue about. And in this case, it was, oh, well, then what's fundamentalist? It's like, well, no, asshole, hold on. That's not, we're talking about this whole big issue.
Yeah.
You're turning it into a semantics
it down
debate.
To this
one word.
Or it's just a total straw man where they make the argument about something that you're not even arguing about.
Right.
And it's like, if you can't argue with me, if you're not a good arguer, like, you can say that. You can say, like, I don't feel, you know, whatever, I'm bowing out of this for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to change the game and try to make it about something else. I had an internet argument about that, something like that, earlier today. It was just fresh in my mind.
So was there, did you get anything out of this that you thought was, like, did you come away with anything that that changed?
The only thing I've come away with, well, certainly not from his perspective, the only thing I've come away with is being able to refine my arguments and my opinion, which I think is valuable.
Sure.
That's the value that I found in it to begin with.
But he didn't say anything that made you think and go, huh? Like I mean, I've had debates with Christians where I've been like, huh, I mean, that is a good point. I mean, I'm going to think on it, and I've got something. You know, I'm not like all of a sudden shaken in my faithlessness, but,
I honestly don't think, I don't find any of his points particularly compelling. But it might happen.
Yeah.
In this case, at least it made me go, all right, well, what is a fundamentalist atheist? What would that mean? And I don't think it means anything. I think you're right. It's just, it's a trap question.
Yeah.
And I basically threw it back at him and said, what do you define as a fundamentalist atheist?
Yeah.
You know, and if I tell him, well, I am that, then he's going to say, well, you know, and he's going to pull the semantics about words. And I'm going to say, no, the word isn't important. What it means is important.
Right.
And
what you believe, I
think is very dangerous, and what I believe, I don't think is.
I really think in today, this is interesting, because when I went to high school, I mean, there was not really the internet as we know it now, obviously. And so I was in debate in high school. I loved it. I excelled at it, too. I'm very good at it. And I think that, I honestly think that debate should be something that is taught in schools, like, at least for, like, a unit. In like a civics class. Because of the internet, because there's so much now, so a lot of us spend a lot of time discussing things on the internet with people. And because of that, I think the skills you learn in debate about the logical fallacies and about how to stay on task, and there's point A, point B, point C, and you answer them in that order,
I feel like it goes with critical thinking
I agree.
A skill that needs to be taught.
Yeah.
It does. Well, we're getting ahead. All right. We should move on to our five questions.
I'm going to ask Nick the five questions because he hasn't answered them yet.
Yeah, he hasn't. It's time.
All right, Nick, are you ready?
Slacker.
I'm totally ready.
All right, Nick. So, first question. What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
So, we're recording this on...
August 8th.
So, it hasn't been a month since Convergence.
It has not been a month since Convergence.
It has been a month since the Saturday. That's
okay. You know, we'll allow it.
We'll allow it.
So... This is weird. This is going to be very against type. Catch Me If You Can.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you Catch
we
Me.
We watched
the Spielberg film.
Yep.
Yeah.
We watched like half of it in the hotel room when we were taking a break from Convergence, and we were like, we should get back to Convergence. And I was like, nah, hang on. I know what scene is next, and I want to see this.
It's such a good movie.
It's such a
fucking... I like Catch Me If You Can.
I love Leonardo DiCaprio.
The music is so great.
Spielberg's good. I'm a big Tom Hanks fan. Like he's a fantastic actor.
I've loved him since Bosom Buddies, since I was a kid,
right.
For real.
Sure.
Like, I think Catch Me If You Can, it might be one of Spielberg's more underrated recent films.
It's so good.
I mean, people liked it when it came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
People liked it when it came out, but I don't think people talk about it very much anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's too bad because I think it's really enjoyable.
My mom saw that guy speak and talk about check fraud and how he's moved on to doing
Frank Abagnale.
Junior. Two mice fell into a bucket of cream, Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
Which mouse am I? All right. So, Tim, I
get to ask the next question.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. What's your favorite atheist character?
All right. So, I thought about this, because I've had a while to think about our five questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the convenience for being one of the members of the podcast.
And the last one to go, too.
Yeah,
so, all right. So, I knew I wanted to pick someone who was... And has actually, like, come out and said, like, I'm an atheist.
Uh-huh.
Like, frankly. Not, like, speculative. They have some doubt or whatever. And I'm going to say Hank Pym.
Yep.
From Marvel Comics. The Wasp. The Giant Man. Ant-Man. Whatever you want to call him. Favorite atheist character. He has outright said, someone was like, oh, you can be his godfather or godmother or whatever. And he's like... His response was, we're going to have to come up with a different term because I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
Like, flat out.
Yeah.
Just like, no, that's not going to work for me.
He owns it.
Totally owns it. He's Earth's scientist supreme. He's one of the fabled 9 smartest characters in the Marvel Universe. And he's got this whole, like, villain superhero trying to redeem himself thing that I just love.
And we've talked about before.
He's not... a brilliant science dick, either. Like, the archetype...
You don't think he's a brilliant science dick?
No. I think he is misunderstood, and I think he is very, very protective of the children in the Avengers Academy and the young
superheroes
and stuff.
Sure, but he's kind of a dick to them.
He's the principal, so some of it's,
wife.
Like, in their... It always comes back to
him. I know, but guess what? You hit your wife once, and you know, now you're Hank Pym, the wife beater. I'm sorry.
Right. No, I'm not excusing...
He didn't just hit her once, either.
He did just hit her once, actually.
I thought he beat her.
Nope, just once.
All right, well, that's excusable, guys.
No.
I mean.
yeah, right, exactly.
Well, if he never does it again... And is genuinely feels bad about it, I suppose.
That's true. And as long as he doesn't,
it's
like...
It's not okay.
As
but
long as, like, if she dies, he doesn't put her consciousness into a robot body against her will. Oh, wait.
Oh, you totally did that.
No.
Yeah. So short answer, Hank Pym, Giant Man.
All right. So next question is, Nicholas, what is your geekiest hobby? Geekiest hobby.
Come on, you had time to think about it. No pausing. You should
hang on.
I
had something ready for this, and I totally blanked on it, too.
Oh, no!
His geekiest hobby is not, apparently, improvisational skill.
No, I professionally, I'm a tech. I do geeky shit professionally. I'm in the comedy stuff. We're working on the Renaissance Festival. I like to paint and make modular Dungeons & Dragons terrain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I
buy molds. And I walk to this place that sells Hydrostone because plaster isn't good enough. It's not dense enough or strong enough.
We have 20 pounds of it in our garage.
We have 50 pounds.
50 pounds.
50 pounds of Hydrostone in the garage so I can cast my own blocks to glue them together and paint them and shade them.
You glue them onto cork.
You totally got to email me a picture of some of this so I can put it in
the show. It's amazing.
I have a Facebook photo set album that's all just the shit.
We're going to put a picture of that. One of the pictures.
I make some pretty elaborate shit. And
so what he's saying is if you need Ty just Jones, he knows a guy.
Yeah. There's this company called Hearst Arts that sells all these molds, and they sell them for every scale size. So you can... Uh-huh. Inch scale is what Dungeons & Dragons typically uses these days. So it's so much fun, and it's relaxing. I can do it while I watch television or something, while hanging out with Molly. Like, it's not a hobby that takes me away from anything. And then when I show up to, like, go play D&D with friends, it's like, hey, guys, check out this awesome fucking shit I made. And I can bust it out and everyone as we're playing, as I'm running a game, and everyone's like, damn, that's so cool.
He made this thing for these... It was a monster that was coming up from under the water. So what he did was he took a plastic toy, a squid, like you can get at the Michaels or whatever, like the little plastic farm, the Hesher farm animals, and he cut all the plastic, all the tentacles off it, and then he set them into clear... discs of resin, so that they were just, so then he could arrange them so it looked like this thing was rising up out of the water around him, and they fought the tentacles individually as monsters.
You could move the tentacles around from space to space.
It was pretty cool.
Because each one was on a little
like
resin
thing was
disc
like
that I made,
attacking them from underneath. It was fucking amazing.
That is amazing. All right, that's a pretty good geeky hobby. All right, what's next question? What's your favorite sandwich?
All right, so short answer, Reuben. I fucking love a Reuben.
You guys are well matched. Molly's answer was a Reuben.
Any restaurant we go to or deli or whatever, I'm going to want to check out their Reuben. But I have a secret sandwich that is the best sandwich.
What?
Now, right now I work across the street from a Lebanese deli in Northeast Minneapolis called Zakia. All
right.
Super friendly people that work there. They're,
Stinson and
Kennedy, right. So I get the kofta meatball sandwich there, but... they make it a special way for me there.
All right.
This is how the owner recommends you eat this sandwich. So normally it's kofta meatballs that have been cut up and put on the grill. I put it in there with like onions and tomatoes and then hummus on a pita. And the way they wrap it is perfect. It's the best wrapping skill ever for anything. So, but what they do for me, and the owner's recommendation is, scrap the onions and tomatoes. Instead, you put in tabbouleh salad.
Okay.
And then on one side, they spread hummus, but on the other side, they spread garlic spread.
Just like paste, like roasted garlic paste.
It's roasted garlic paste.
Yep, well, yeah.
And so it's garlicky hummus, garlic spread.
Yeah.
I got a sandwich boner right now. Tabbouleh salad that is garlicky and super sour tasting.
Yeah, tabbouleh.
And then the kofta meat, which is a little bit garlicky. I feel like I can melt plastic with my breath.
When he gets in the car, I can tell if he's had the sandwich. He'll get in the car and I'm like, oh, you went to Zakia. He's like, oh, no. And it's like, yeah, dude, it's coming out your pores.
It'll be like five hours later. There's no hiding it.
Yeah.
But it's so fucking delicious. It's so garlicky. That's my favorite sandwich, like outside of a Reuben.
All right, last question.
Nick, what's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
Ah, man. Okay, so when I was a kid and my mom started taking me to a Unitarian Universalist church, and I had already kind of been established as a non-believer at this point, the next holiday we went to my aunt's place for like a Thanksgiving, and she's very... Christian.
Yeah.
Traditionalist. Very Lutheran, Minnesotan, rural farm teacher.
Sweet. All right.
She kind of like really rudely grilled me about my beliefs, and she kind of got me alone and did this at a family thing, and like it really upset my mom. Like, she was crying that her sister was kind of, you know, coming at me.
Kind of crappy.
Well,
I'm a 12-year-old.
You were 12? Yeah, it was pretty young.
Where, you know, like a kid that age usually doesn't have their shit in order for their beliefs and whatnot.
And just, like, your mom had just come out and your sister has always been the least welcoming of that. And I think that would have been a recent...
That aunt?
That aunt, not your sister, your mom's sister, has been the least welcoming of that, and so I think that as a result,
she's
that may have
the most help.
That may have also been inflaming your mother's ire about the whole situation.
So she was like, the question she kept coming around to, or kept coming back to, is, well, what do you believe then? And it was just like she couldn't grasp this very simple concept that what I believe in is, like, literally what's all around us and what can be measured and seen and observed and not anything, you know, like, metaphysical or mystical.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, and then we'd go do other questions and stuff, and then eventually it would just come back to, like, but then what do you believe? And it's like,
yeah.
What don't you fucking get?
The presumption that believing that there's no God is somehow not a belief.
Right.
You know, and not a belief in the same way of believing in something metaphysical. It's what I believe is,
yeah.
I have not observed any evidence that there is a God, and therefore I believe
Or that if you're an atheist, you're a nihilist. Like, that's what that's...
Then you believe in nothing.
Then you believe in nothing.
I believe in that there's a table right here.
Yeah.
And we're talking, we're having this conversation
right now.
I believe
in love. I believe in friendship. I believe
I believe we got a fucking robot the size of a car on Mars.
Booyah!
Booyah! You know?
And I think... So I think, like, context and the memories of that have always made that, like, a touchy question for me. But, like, that's still... Yeah, it still bugs me. It's like, well, you don't believe in God, so you must not believe in anything. It's like... insulting.
That doesn't follow.
That's
reductionist. Amazingly fallacious statement.
I feel like because I went through my Wicca phase, my entire family is like less worried about the atheism than they were about the spells.
Well done on your part.
All right, everybody. So that was our... I think that was great. We did a good job.
Yeah,
that was a fun one. All right. Thank you, Nick, for answering 5 questions.
Absolutely.
And awesome. So this has been Geeks Without God. And you guys, as always, you can like us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Please leave any comments, stuff there, of course. And you can also send us emails at Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks to Melissa Kershaw for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com and be sure to follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Awesome.
That was good.
That was good.